On Saturday, the Federal Aviation Administration tentatively approved software changes to Boeing's 737 MAX 8 plane, while international pressure mounts on the company. Two MAX 8 planes crashed in the time span of about 5 months, killing nearly 350 people in Indonesia and Ethiopia. Now, lawsuits, subpoenas by the Justice Department, and probes into the FAA have shined a new light on the company's practices. Here to tell us all about it is Leslie Josephs, airline reporter at CNBC. Leslie, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
So, how rare or common is it for companies like Boeing to be criminally charged? And criminally charged for what?
Well, that remains to be seen, and it is something that is extremely rare. We saw it, the French had tried to prosecute Continental Airlines over a crash of the Concorde back in 2000 because of some allegedly faulty maintenance. That was eventually overturned many years later. But for criminal charges, this is very uncommon. After a plane crash, you will always see lawsuits. And we've already seen lawsuits, and they're mounting from the Lion Air crash, which was the first 737 MAX crash that was back in October. So we're bound to see more lawsuits over this. But for a criminal charge, depending on what it may be, it's extremely rare.
And lawsuits you mentioned, I'm assuming those are from the families
from victims. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So there is going to be a Senate hearing. What can we expect? What are lawmakers going to be looking for?
So this Senate subcommittee, it's an aviation subcommittee, and the acting FAA Administrator Daniel Elwell is going to be there, as well as the National Transportation Safety Board head is going to be there as well. So that hearing on Wednesday is going to focus on what the federal oversight of aviation is. And that's become a focal point in this investigation. It's how did this plane come to market with a piece of software that even the pilots didn't know about?
And a piece of software that we understand also had to be purchased in addition to?
Well, to create this plane, Boeing put larger engines on there. And for fear of the plane stalling, because the aerodynamics changed a little bit, it added an anti-stall software. That software is being looked at very closely now amongst U.S. regulators, every safety investigator pretty much in the world, and for its potential effect on these crashes or contribution to these crashes.
Have the changes been made?
Boeing is apparently pretty close to it. They tested it out over the weekend. U.S. pilots were testing it out in Renton, where Boeing assembles the 737. So they are pretty much getting close to it. They need the FAA to sign off. My understanding is the FAA is going to get a look at it, and then they need to certify it. So anything that goes on a U.S. airplane needs the FAA seal of approval.
And I'm just thinking over a weekend, it seems a little quick to do a big software patch like that.
They've been working on this for months.
Okay.
Because I've been following Lion Air. So they've been working on this for a long time. U.S. regulators want to see it done, but they also want to see that it's done correctly.
Is there any impact so far, or has there been, on consumers, passengers?
Yeah, we're seeing cancellations. And now over the weekend, airlines started to warn that the cancellations could last through April. American Airlines, for example, has 24 737 MAX already in its fleet. And they are saying that they're canceling about 90 flights a day. But the issue with that is that it also encompasses the Easter Passover travel period, which is a huge moneymaker for airlines. But obviously, everyone goes to see their families and friends, and kids are off from school, and it's a big travel period.
Take us back, Leslie, to how new, what was the history of this plane again?
So the 737 has been flying since the 1960s. Pretty much everyone who has flown has most likely flown on this plane at one point or another. Over the years, Boeing has had several updates to this plane. And in 2011, just to kind of set the scene, Boeing, its chief rival, Airbus, which is a European manufacturer, it's kind of like the Coke and Pepsi of airplane manufacturing, was coming out with a new engine option, a more fuel-efficient engine. Boeing, it had already won over one of Boeing's big customers, American Airlines, and Boeing started work on its MAX, which had a bigger engine, again, more fuel efficient to take on this new Airbus plane. It is wildly popular, and it is Boeing's best seller ever. It has more than 4,600 orders already.
So the FAA is under a lot of scrutiny for allowing the Boeing planes to be used. Why did the FAA grant certification if there were so many issues with it initially?
I don't know how many issues were known at the time, and the plane had been flying since 2017 without an issue, and those issues were kind of brought to light after the Lion Air crash. And then you heard American Airlines pilots saying, well, for us to transition from the older 737 to the new model, we got a 56-minute iPad training. And we didn't even know that this piece of software that Boeing had put in to prevent stalls, it was meant as almost a safety measure, that it even existed or what it was or what it does.
56-minute iPad training?
Right. It varies by airline because airlines can design their own programs, but the FAA didn't see additional need for training for in simulators or other methods.
The FAA is about to get a new head, potentially. Will that change? I mean, will this new person put in any new, essentially respond to what's happening now?
Right. And Stephen Dixon is a former executive from Delta Airlines, a lifelong pilot. And, I mean, it's likely they're under enormous pressure to actually do something, and they have been without a permanent head for several months now. And this is someone who oversaw flight safety and flight operations. So it's likely.
What does this case tell us about Boeing's ties to the president, to Washington, if anything at all?
Well, Boeing is a huge lobbyist in Washington, and of course, a defense contractor. You'll see its name in both of those departments frequently. It's a test. And this isn't something that the Trump administration is going to let go. And it's not something that consumers are letting go. And it's on everybody's mind, everyone who flies. And they're asking airlines on Twitter, passengers are, whether their planes are this model. I don't want to fly it. So it's going to have lasting implications because you have to win back the public's trust.
So that was that. That's the next question. How do you do that? I mean, flying is something where I think we, the public, does entrust our lives essentially with the folks that are transporting us. So how do you bring back the trust?
We haven't had a fatal crash in the United States in more than 10 years. So we've kind of been lulled into this sense of air travel is so safe, planes just don't fall out of the sky. And then all of a sudden, we're like, whoa, the new planes are doing this. So it's just a question of winning back public opinion. I don't know how to do that. I think it'll probably take time, and it will take a lot of transparency on the part of the company, and this is what we're doing. It'll take transparency on the part of the airlines, saying that these are the planes that are not flying currently. These are the changes we're making.
And I'm wondering, initially, it took the United States was one of the last countries to ground these planes. Mm-hmm. Was that, in retrospect, political? Because of Boeing's ties to lobbying at the White House?
It's hard to say what caused it. I mean, the FAA's official line is that they received a new piece of information along with a Canadian, some satellite data that was drawing a link between one and the other. But airlines and the U.S. government were under immense pressure, both from passengers and then even airline employees were saying, please, we don't want to fly this. Not the pilots. The pilots had stood by the plane. I mean, they said that we're trained to fly it. We're familiar with this piece of software now. Some flight attendants had come out and said to their own staff, if you don't want to fly this plane, you don't have to.
Wow. Leslie Josephs is an airline reporter with CNBC. Leslie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.